This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, August 10th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Tech's red-hot hiring spree is cooling down. Layoff announcements are coming from startups and big-name companies alike. And many tech businesses that aren't cutting jobs are pausing or slowing the pace of hiring. But all this grim news follows a period of explosive growth for tech. And the economy, while slowing, isn't in a dire place. So what's the hiring landscape like right now for tech companies and for workers? And where is it headed next? On today's show, we'll be joined by Seda Howard, partner and chief talent officer for the venture capital firm IVP, to talk about tech hiring trends and what advice she's giving her portfolio companies. That's after these headlines. A former Twitter employee has been found guilty of spying for Saudi Arabia after receiving hundreds of thousands of dollars in exchange for private user information on critics of the kingdom. Ahmed Abu Amo, who worked for Twitter from 2013 to 2015, was also convicted of money laundering, falsification of records, and one count of wire fraud. U.S. authorities say he had been recruited by a rising lieutenant in the Saudi government with close ties to Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Abu Amo and his lawyers couldn't be reached for comment. Twitter didn't respond to a request for comment. On Tuesday, Roblox joined a growing list of video game companies feeling a slowdown in growth. Roblox's second quarter revenue grew to just over $590 million, up 30% compared to the same period last year. But that was a drop from the 38% growth it experienced in the first quarter and the 80% growth it had in the final quarter of last year. Roblox's results followed weak earnings from Activision Blizzard, Electronic Arts, and Take-Two Interactive. Hardware makers haven't been spared either. Microsoft and Sony say their video game revenue declined last quarter, and Nintendo said its sales and profit both fell. Our tech reporter Sarah Needleman explains.
The video game industry is seeing a sharp slowdown in growth, mainly because people are going out again after a pandemic-fueled spurt of spending on games, hardware, and accessories. Industry executives and analysts say the easing of the health crisis is the leading factor, but they also point to rising prices for essential goods, the war in Ukraine, and a dearth of new blockbusters for the deceleration.
Overall, video game sales in the U.S. fell 13% in the second quarter from a year earlier, after falling 8% in the first quarter, according to NPD Group and Sensor Tower. Speaking of video games, the landscape for mobile game developers could be changing. AppLovin, which makes marketing and revenue generation tools for app developers, has proposed an unsolicited merger with Unity Software, the operator of a platform for developing video games. The tie-up would unite two large providers of tools for mobile game developers and give the new company a value of $20 billion. A spokesman for Unity said the company's board will thoroughly evaluate the offer. And months into Russia's invasion of Ukraine, YouTube remains active behind Russia's digital Iron Curtain. Since February, the Kremlin has restricted domestic access to many other big platforms, including news sites and Facebook. But our tech reporter Sam Schechner says YouTube, owned by Google, remains one of the few sources of independent information about the war in Ukraine available in Russia.
Western media experts say that Russia may deem YouTube just too popular to block. More than 85 million unique viewers in Russia in June, compared to just 9.7 for their homegrown RuTube, which officials are pushing as a replacement. One former tech staffer told me that, quote, some apps are too big to be blocked. The idea being that the government knows they'd face a backlash if they were to block an app like YouTube.
The Russian communications regulator responsible for blocking social media outlets didn't respond to a request for comment. All right, coming up, the job market in tech is changing, but this time it may not be like the pullbacks we've seen before. We'll hear from an expert on tech sector hiring after the break.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with, listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
During the pandemic, demand for software, e-commerce, video games, and pretty much anything with the word crypto in it went into overdrive. That led tech companies to hire new workers at a rapid clip. But now, times are changing. High inflation and continued supply chain disruptions are causing economic growth to slow, and taking hiring with it. In just the last few months, crypto exchange Coinbase let go of 18% of its workforce. Tesla laid off 200 people. Netflix said it was cutting 3% of its staff. And companies like Google parent Alphabet, Amazon, and Facebook parent Meta have all said they will slow their hiring plans. Not to mention the cuts happening at startups. So is this a sign of doom for the tech labor market? My guest today says, maybe not. Seda Howard is a partner and the chief talent officer for venture capital firm IVP. The firm has invested in companies like Dropbox, GitHub, and Snap, and its current portfolio includes Discord and Grammarly. Hi, Seda. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So start off by telling me a little bit about what your role is.
So my role at IVP is to help our portfolio companies with all things related to talent, human capital, essentially the people in their organization. Sometimes it's around helping them recruit in senior level executives. Sometimes it's around figuring out how to face a worldwide pandemic. Sometimes it's about thinking about return to office strategies, hiring strategies in general, but basically anything related to their employees.
I want to talk about a few of those things that you just mentioned, because the landscape for hiring in tech right now is changing. We're hearing about a lot of layoffs and hiring freezes. You know, from your perspective, what does that say about kind of where the industry is right now?
So I think the interesting thing to note about that is that this is, I think, very different than layoffs, hiring freezes from the past. I would call this strategic cuts, strategic freeze, versus what we saw back in 2001, 2000 with the technology and the dot-com bust, where it was very desperate. Companies were going out of business. They were no longer going to exist if they didn't make some of these cuts. Or even if you think about 2008 and 2009, the worldwide financial meltdown. This is very different in that companies throughout this year, throughout 2022, have been looking at their runway for the future and thinking about how do we preserve the cash that we've raised over the past 2 to 3 years. And so they're making very difficult decisions around the people, their organization. They're maybe looking at new initiatives that they started that aren't going to be successful and cutting those initiatives. They're thinking much more critically around growth. I think in the last few years, it's been growth and growth at all costs, which meant hiring as many people as you could for whatever salaries you could get them. At the same time, I think it's important to note that even while companies are making cuts or maybe putting on freezes, there are still key roles that they're hiring for, and there are still jobs to be had within the technology landscape.
What's behind that pullback, though? Why does tech in particular find itself in this place?
I think tech in particular finds itself in this place because the growth has just been so astronomical throughout the pandemic. If you think about how many people had heard the word Zoom and knew what Zoom was, in January of 2020, we did as an organization, we were using Zoom for meetings, et cetera, not to the extent that we are now, versus August of 2020, It's a verb now. It's commonplace, everything that we do. And that filters through technology in all different sorts of ways. You've got to think about how you protect your organization from a security standpoint. You've got to think about how you're working together from a collaboration standpoint. And so many different ways and so many different touch points, technology has really benefited, frankly, from the pandemic in ways that were unforeseen before. And that doesn't go on forever. So I think because the highs were so high, it feels like the lows are so lows when what is normal, which is things slow down and the come back down, is happening.
Okay, but it seems like kind of because these highs have been so high, we're hearing a lot of CEOs say, you know, we overhired, we extended ourselves too much. To an extent, you hear something like that and you think like, well, as an employee, that's not my fault. That sounds like bad management, you know, and yet the individuals kind of end up having to deal with those repercussions.
Exactly. The individuals do end up having to deal with the repercussions. I think it's easy to say it's bad management. And I think with some companies, that's certainly a part of it. It's also no one can really predict the future with all certainty. There are certainly CEOs that have done a better job of understanding their marketplace. And maybe for good or for bad, were more conservative in their growth strategies, were more conservative in how they were bringing people on and how many. But they were also maybe missing part of the market and part of market share that they should have been getting and could have been getting. But now when they look back, they maybe seem smarter in this particular moment because they're making fewer cuts. And then there were those that were very aggressive, that were maybe doing better, raising money at higher valuations, growing even faster, that have to make even bigger swings the other way because of that. It's hard, you know, hindsight is absolutely 20/20 on these types of things, and it's hard to say right, wrong. I think the other thing to remember is it isn't over, right? This is just a point in time. This is a marker. And if you did that marker for every single company, there was a time where they were at a high, there were a time where they were maybe at a low or at a medium. The conversation still continues, but you're absolutely right. Employees are the one that end up bearing the brunt of these things.
I want to ask you about something that feels a little unique to the situation we have at the moment. And you're seeing these big tech company CEOs come out and say things like, you know, if you're not good enough, then maybe you should decide to leave. Are startups and smaller companies taking that kind of approach too? And what does that do to the market?
That is a great question. And I can tell you, in talking to some of our portfolio CEOs, I have not heard that sort of positioning. I have not heard that statement around if you're not good enough, et cetera. And this is just my personal opinion. I think with maybe some of the larger companies, because when you get to 10,000 employees, et cetera, there is a little bit more of an ability to ride the coattails and hide maybe in certain areas. And maybe you don't have to be at that top 10%, top 5% all the time. There's a larger bell curve, if you will. When you're at a smaller startup, when you're at 200 employees, when you're one of 5 customer success reps, not even just there's no place to hide, but there's so much work to be done with fewer resources that you really are most of the time operating at such a high level. I don't know if it makes sense in the same way.
All right. That was Seda Howard, Chief Talent Officer for IVP. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.